الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting the talk, just a reminder for us all that we are in this last ashra of Ramadan, and this is the last ashra of itqum min al-nar, when salvation, freedom from the fire of Jahannam is granted. And we are all desperately in need of that, so we should not forget to make that dua. For us, our parents, family, associates, the whole ummah, that we make dua that Allah Ta'ala grants us and makes us amongst those whom He has set free from the fire of Jahannam. Otherwise, our condition is such that with our actions we have made, we have brought a lot of harm to ourselves. And Allah is most merciful in that. Appreciate also this month, and make it that we don't have the desire. It must be only 9 days left, the last ashra. But the 10 days that more we can ask Allah Ta'ala, Allah. And more we ask for all different people that, and who we can take by name also. Otherwise, generally, but at least our immediate family, close people, take their name and ask Allah Ta'ala to set them free from the fire of Jahannam. And this will also help if we ask, make dua for other people. Malaika say for that also, our dua is more accepted when we make that dua on behalf of somebody else. And the Malaika say, for you the same also. So we will get the dua of the Malaika if we will make dua for others. We know what the value of our dua is, but in return, we will get the duas of the Malaika, that may Allah set you also free from the fire of Jahannam. And this is all 100% authentic. So why must we deprive ourselves? So we shouldn't, after every namaz also, after Farz namaz, the rule is after Farz namaz, after which there are sunnat like Zuhar, Maghrib and Isha, sunnat-e-muakkada. Then the dua also must be short, because that sunnat-e-muakkada is more important. First finish that. But other times when we make dua after Fajr, dua should be spend time in dua after Asr also. And our own namazes, of course, all the namazes, especially tahajjud time, we should try and make as much dua as possible. And don't forget this dua. Together with that, the dua of the beginning, the first 10 days was the of rahmat. Now Allah's rahmat never gets finished. Still ask for Allah's rahmat. The second 10 days is the ashara, the 10 days of forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. And that also we are very desperately in need of the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. We are so much in need that forget our actual and open, which are existence, which there is no doubt about. But even our ibadat is such that we have to ask forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. So we have to ask for a lot of forgiveness also. So Allah Ta'ala, give us the tawfiq to try and make these du'as. And together with that, all the other du'as also, what we mentioned, and especially during the time of this confusion and people, all different views that are there. So this du'a is also very valuable. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa. Oh Allah, show us the truth to be the truth. Otherwise, we think also, this is so clear, but how people are thinking opposite of it, a thing which is openly haram, and people are proving it halal, right? Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali laments that with regard to interest, and this is Hazrat's time, maybe 70, 80 years ago, or 100 years ago when Hazrat wrote the kitab, that at this time, 100 years ago, roundabout, Hazrat says, when people are trying to prove interest to be halal, So how much haram is being peddled as halal, and how many things which are halal perhaps we are making it haram. So Allah, show us what is the right, and let us understand that this is the right. And then more than that, again, tawfiq from Allah Ta'ala, that Allah give us the tawfiq to follow it also, to follow the right also. And to follow the right is not so easy also. Like many of us who will understand on Eid's day, family gatherings, there will be a lot of wrong things also happening. Dressing of the family woman, close family woman also. And we can't say anything. So we have to have that tawfiq from Allah. He gives us the tawfiq that we ourselves are right, and that we see we maintain the right. And what is wrong, Allah show it to us as wrong, and that we accept it as wrong. And then we stay away, that Allah give us the tawfiq to stay away from that wrong. Otherwise we become weak in that also. We also get involved in that. Allah give us all tawfiq. With regard to the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, it is a very, very important thing. And if Allah gives time, so few days are left, and so many things, very important things have to be discussed, reminders for all of us. So the dhikr that we make, like when we come to a khanqah, that is more for our islah, to purify ourselves, to correct ourselves. And one dhikr is made as an ibadat. The whole ummah makes dhikr also. Everyone. Yeah, again, we ask the question that the dhikr that I want to talk about is a dhikr which we all are doing. And that is the Tasbihat-e-Fatimi after Asr. That we all read now. I don't think anyone is such that we didn't read it. We all read it now. So we know about it also, and we are reading it also. Then why still the necessity to speak about it? When it is there, tahsil hasil, the thing which is already achieved. Why still speak about it? But we are not perhaps informed. Allah reward our elders. When they brought this to our attention, then we came to know. Otherwise, we also, alhamdulillah, we are reading the tasbihat. 33 times, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, 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 34 times, Allahu Akbar. But really, what it entails, and how great it is, and how valuable and invaluable and invaluable and important it is, it didn't dawn at all on us. On one occasion, Haji Farooq Saab of Sakkar, Pakistan, Rahmatullah Ali, very great Buzurg, senior Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Saab, Rahmatullah Ali. Very, very senior Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Saab, Rahmatullah Ali. He was visiting us here in Azadville, and after Asr, he was having tea by one alim. And when we were sitting for the tea, then Hazrat mentioned this. He said that, see, if you want to, just before that, the host, the Maulana, brought his little daughters for Hazrat to meet. Like we will take 2-3-year-old daughters, they must have been perhaps small little children. So Hazrat put his hand on the scarf on the head. If that is the salam. And he said that Abba Ji, Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, taught us that the salam of a little girl also is like this here. She's a stranger, but she's a small girl, there is no parda. But not that you meet with your hands, that you shake hands also. So I think I asked the Hazrat, or somebody asked Hazrat, even so small girl. So he said, even so small girls, that don't let your hand touch their hands also. And so from here, and he mentioned then, on this occasion, this also, that Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, has written, that if mother and father are together in a room, bedroom, and they become intimate, and there's a little baby, like in our times, in the cot, on the side, the child is sleeping, and 100% halal relations, husband, wife, everything is proper. But that also will have a negative effect on the child. purity of the mind, the thinking of the mind, it will have a negative effect on there also. So this is also a thing. Again, it comes to all the time that we are living, and we are so much bombarded with a different lifestyle, or different lifestyles, alien lifestyles. Call it Western lifestyle, modern lifestyle, whatever else. That it sort of has become part of us. And today when we tell what is the right thing, it's difficult for us to... MashaAllah, there are those brothers and people who accept, and they come and they find out also. They have that concern also. But generally, it's difficult to understand how can this be wrong like. So what I'm referring to, that this is becoming very, very common in us, that what your own daughter or daughter-in-law, on Eid day also very common, father-in-law will greet hands with his daughter-in-law, or with the daughters also, and not only that, even kiss them, like on the forehead, or not only that, even hug them. This is all very, very common. Whereas this is total alien to deen, and it's not part of our deen. Also another thing is, if it is in us, now how to take it out? Like everyone now, your daughter will think that your daddy doesn't love me anymore. He doesn't hug me, he doesn't kiss me. Or she will also feel, the family people will also feel. And this is common across the board. It is very, very sad that how this has come into us. And we just follow these ways. So this is not permissible at all. That a father, his young grown-up daughter, when for 2-3-year-old children, for them also this ihtiyat. And then we heard that Hadraji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, it is said that his daughter, they lived in one house. Yeah, this is again another subject and it's details. But like commonly in India, Pakistan, they will live in the same house. We all got separate houses mostly, but many cases we also. And Shariat has allowed. It is possible and it is permissible. And you can stay together and yet maintain parda also. Our Shariat wants parda, it is still possible also. And we have to find out that what are the limits of the parda and how to adopt that parda in those circumstances. In Pakistan, India, they live in flats. And flats are not big places normally. They're small little places. But one family, two families, three families will stay with the sons, with their wives, and yet they maintain parda also. So it is possible. So anyway, Ji, Jazakumullah. So Hazrat Ji, his son, Bhaijan, Rahmatullah Ali, his wife, they were all staying in one house. But it is said that if Hazrat Ji had to ever see his daughter-in-law with other woman, he won't be able to identify her that this is my daughter. So this is how they stayed. They stayed in the same house, but the gaze, how they looked after it. We got so much of easy. We can implement our the laws of Shariat, but yet we don't. They so difficult in the same house all the time, walking up and down in the house, and find out from the ulama, the people, how to do this. This is not a difficult thing. It's not difficult at all. Just a little one. Any doubt comes to mind. One son-in-law was from the village, and in the villages they usually build big houses. They got big houses. He came and visited in the city, by his in-laws. So when he came and visited, in the small flat all together. So he had to pass through where the women were. So one of the ways is if the women are there, then you just announce that parda karlo. That make parda, I'm passing through. So the woman just looked the other side, and you pass from this side. So no problem, so easy it is. Or you just cough a little bit. Or you just make a loud salam. So they know that he's going. And all are aware of the laws of Sharia. So the woman will look one side, he will keep his gaze low, and he passes through. So he wanted to pass, so he told, the woman wanted to pass, and he was one side. So actually they said, parda karlo, make parda. So then he looked one side, and woman's common habit. Then they started talking again. After a little while they spoke, again they said, parda karlo. So he said that perhaps I'm not making proper parda. So he put his hand over his eyes. Now he's making, so again they started talking. Again some time went, again they said, parda karlo. So he thought, they said that I'm not making proper parda. So he took his lungi and he put it over his face. So what parda he made and what he exposed. So anyway, it is practical and easy also. And it won't happen like this, it's just a little. So to make parda, even in this difficult conditions, like what we call difficult. But for them, it's natural and they maintain it. And we have it so easy, we can maintain proper parda. Yeah, alhamdulillah, people, Allah has blessed them. They have a separate lounge for the man, separate lounge for the woman also. Everything so much so. Yeah, we must maintain it even more. In those places when they can maintain, then we should even more. So anyway, so Hazrat Ji, his own daughter-in-law that stayed in the house, but he didn't lift his eyes and he didn't see her. Mir Saab, Rahmatullah Ali, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali's Khadim, he said the same with Hazrat also. Hazrat's daughter-in-law, Maulana Mazhar Saab's wife, also there in the same house. But he said that if Hazrat has to see her anywhere else, he won't know that this is my daughter. And on that I remember, just see this parda, how they have it. Maulana Mazhar's mother, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali's Ammi Jan, for some work they had, and she had to go out. When they came back, Mamazhar took her. When they came back, he stopped in front of the house, and he told her, go now. See, where must I go? Say, go in the house. Where's the house? Say, this is your door. She said, tell how she lived in that house her whole life. So much she didn't know the outside, that this is the door of my house. And she asked, where must I go? So much, what parda they had, and how much they stayed in their homes. May Allah bless us with also such qualities. So anyway, so this is a very dangerous situation which we can destroy ourselves completely. And the reason for that is that if those people who we don't have parda with, our mother, sister, daughter-in-law, there isn't Sharia's hukam of parda there. But if the hands or any parts of the body have to touch, and just little bit of lust and desire has to come, then it breaks the nikah such a way that it cannot be repaired in any way whatsoever. If a person gives three talaqs, there is still a way also, it is possible. But with this hurmat-e-mustahara, there is no chance whatsoever, there is nothing. And how families can get destroyed, and have happened also. And on that our Shaykh, Jazamullah Khair, with what beautiful examples they explained to us, like that every person will say, me, my daughter, out of the question, where am I going to ever think of anything like this? It's right out of the question. Me, my sister, me, my mother, or anyone, it's right out of the question. But we don't know shaitan, and it comes in the hadith, he runs in our body like how the blood flows in the body. And which moment he can just create that lust and that desire. And if it has come, and from any one party, it doesn't have to be from both also. From one party, if that lust is to come, then it brings us complete destruction. So we should be very, very careful about this. And example also, Hazrat gives, that if the electricity department is working in your area, the procedure is supposed to be, they will inform you that from 8 o'clock till 4 o'clock today, we're cutting the current, there won't be electricity. But they put a note also, but treat all wires as light. You don't know when, perhaps they will just put it on. So like that, Hazrat says, that you be with your mother, with your sister. Inshallah, no, but it's out of the question. The question doesn't arise. But you don't know which moment just the current can come. And perhaps we all experience sometimes some weird thoughts come to a person which you never ever thought that I can think of a thing like this, but just that thought comes also. That is a thought, and if it has to come here, then what can happen? So we have to be very careful. So anyway, so Haji Farooq Saab, Rahmatullah Ali, taught us this lesson. That even for these little children, so on each day, and Allah Ta'ala make lot of dua again. That, oh Allah, show me the right as right, and let me follow the right. You make the means and make it easy for me, so that I can do it. So like on each day, many of us will face this situation. So make dua that Allah guides us, and that slowly we can, and very, very fortunate is that person who puts a wrong right. Just to implement one sunnah. And this is a great amal. A very great. And this all comes with its price normally. We all wish that it must just happen. And that in our house everything now completely according to Sharia. But to bring Sharia, any command of Sharia, people will go against you. They will talk so. This is what you learn. You went to learn to break relationships. Now you are breaking relationships here. You have to learn how to bring unity and muhabbat. Now you are breaking and being seen on the day of Eid again. So a lot of these things will happen, but we have to implement it also. Ask for the best suitable way how to implement it, how to bring it. Lot of duas are required that Allah let the people understand. Our niyat must be 100% clean also. This is also very important. If we have got little bit that I must be identified, that he is the one who took out this bad rasam, this bad way. He took it out from our family. And I must get praises, then Allah's help is not there. Then you're going to have the big problems. But if we are sincere, really, really, really sincere, and we are to do it only for Allah's pleasure, Allah's help will come also. And we ask Allah that He must not test us. We are very, very weak. And if the family, like now we spend whole Ramadan, we spend it in a nice environment with Allah. We might have made, inshallah, many resolutions that I'm going to change my life here, correct this here. And on each day, right in the morning, everything again, just if this happens to happen, how a person feels. So anyway, so the Hazrat explained that is a very important thing. Allah let us understand and bring it into our lives that this parda and the proper shari parda, how it's supposed to be, that it comes into our lives. Then Haji Farooq Rahmatullah Ali explained that if a person travels anywhere in the world and he sees some beautiful tree, a plant, flower, anything, and he wishes that this must be in my garden also. He says for that it is a long, long procedure. For example, you saw it in another part of the world, and if I have this tree in my garden, how nice it will be. So for that you'll have to find out whether that tree, that plant will grow in your weather conditions. All different weather conditions, all plants don't grow in all the very cold weather, very hot weather, all that you have to consider. After that you will have to find out a lot of details to explain how now to get it, to import it, for example. And governments are very strict in their laws with regard to importing flowers, fruit, all these things here. They are very strict. If they do agree, the paperwork is a procedure on its own also to get all the permission. Then you'll get it from wherever it grows, at the foot of a mountain, right at the top of a mountain, from a nursery, from wherever. Then to transport it, these things are very delicate and they easily die off and it won't grow. So all that also has a lot of things. And that things. and then things. And then finally, if you do get it, then you have to dig a hole to specification. Put fertilizer, everything to specification. Plant it, and then again add sand. Then look after it again. It's a new plant. It can easily die off. Or people who don't know, reversing the car, it's outside in the garden somewhere, somebody might bump it. Or children playing with their ball, etc., they might knock it down. So you have to look after it also. Okay. Then again, if it was in summer, it grew. For winter, you'll perhaps have to cover it again. Frost mustn't get it. A whole lot of process he explained, detail. And then he said, so much work for that one plant, for that one fruit, for the one flower, for the one tree. And that also, perhaps you don't live to see it also. It might die. Or it might die off also. Or even if you enjoy it, for how long you're going to enjoy it? And then it's finished. On the other hand, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, Subhanallah, 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 Gharsun fil Jannah. One Subhanallah you said, and your tree is planted in Jannah already. Without any, no import license, no digging a hole here. We are in Etikaf, yeah. And the trees and flowers and fruit of Jannah, all the fruit and flowers of this world can never compare with it. And just your one Subhanallah. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, your tree is planted in Jannah. And that tree, you didn't have to do any work. You don't have to maintain it. You don't have to prune it. You don't have to look after it. Nothing. It's just there for your enjoyment. And then again, it is such a big tree, the trees of Jannah, it comes, that a person on a horse, a fast galloping horse, for 100 years, 500 years, won't cover the shade of that tree. What a tree. Just by saying one time Subhanallah, you have planted such a tree. And forever and ever you will get the fruit or the flowers there in Jannah. There is no winter and summer. That now in autumn all the trees are going to fall down or something like that. No, perpetually it will be there. There is no question of death for you. You're going to live forever to enjoy it. There is no question that the tree will die down. The tree is going to be forever also. So simple. So perhaps we didn't think of it that now we read 33 times Subhanallah. Actually, we have planted 33 trees in Jannah, and complete 100 trees we have planted in Jannah just now, but we did not think of it. And forever and ever, the Jannah is prepared, we are preparing it, so Allah Ta'ala will inshallah then give it to us also. These are the people who prepared the Jannah. And also we know, especially in business, like your summer lines will be in December, you need, but you can't go and buy in December. You have to buy order in March already, perhaps. Latest, perhaps by June, you have to get your summer lines already. For your winter lines, what you need, you can't go and buy it in June in winter. You have to 6 months. So Jannah, there we can't go and prepare. Yeah, Allah gave us the opportunity. So how many trees we want? To plant. And then again, also by the trees that we are planting. So in this world you got your plot, your house, you planned your house, everything. Many times it happens you are just short of perhaps 10 centimeters, a little bit, then everything should work out perfectly. Just little, half a meter I should get here, then I should be able to fit in everything. So you have a problem here. But Jannah, how many Subhanallah, our plot of Jannah, we are expanding it all the time. It's getting bigger and bigger. How much we read, also in one hadith it comes, that all the trees are one place, and then Allah transfers them to the various palaces and the gardens there, they get transferred. So how much we will read, so much we will get. And by this we can make, now we have made place for another 100 trees in our Jannah there, in our plot. And every time we read, after Fajr, after Asr, we are getting this great value. just by reading our Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And this Tasbihat are known as Tasbihat-e-Fatimi. Radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Fatima, from her, we got this great gift of it. What a great gift we have, the Ummah has been given. One time in one masjid in Durban, we mentioned this. The next day, we met one brother. So he said, this Zuhr time, one friend came to me, and after Zuhr, I was reading my Tasbihat after Sunnah and that, the same. So he wanted to speak to me, so I made a sign, just stop. So he waited, I finished, then I said, now you can tell what you want to say. So they spoke. So he told him then that actually, I was planting my 100 trees of Jannat. Now I finished planting them, now you can talk. Allah give us that yaqeen, that 100% that we have planted 100 trees in Jannat. And what splendid and beautiful and big trees, the shade of it, in every way you can, we cannot understand what beautiful trees. So anyway, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time, some slaves had come, captives of war. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the husband of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, told her, you work so hard in the house that you do all the housework, and here is a great lesson for us also to learn, that our woman folk should also do lot of housework. There is a very important thing that they do their housework. And Hazrat Fatima, queen of the women of Jannah, Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, the queen of all the women of Jannah, should do all the housework by which blisters came on her hand, marks on her body, carrying the leather or water containers. How hard she had worked, very hard she worked. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu told her that some slaves have come to your father, to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you go and ask for one, he can do housework for you. And there's nothing wrong to have a person to work in the house. And that also, again, there's a lot of detail which our sheikh explained to us. Like if we keep a female in the house, because human anomaly, and our system is that we keep females who help us in the house, then the man must maintain their parda also. They mustn't become free with them, mustn't just speak to them. Keep your, she will be working, you have to pass. Then also make the arrangement that you don't have to pass close by her. She one side, and you just look down and you go past. It is possible. Sharia has made the allowance, and it's done properly according to Sharia. So in that way we must maintain that parda. Don't start talking with her. Whatever you have to have any, you must go through the wife. Pay her. Don't you pay with your hands? The wife must pay her. And if it's a male working, which in some countries males work in the house, then they are all the time with the female. That is also quite unhealthy, very unhealthy also. But they work. Then there also that parda must still be maintained. Though it is much more difficult, but it must be maintained also. So in all cases, Sharia has got the limits and bounds, and how it can be practical. Sharia is not impractical. It is practical, but we must try and maintain and do it properly. So anyway, so he said that, go and ask for a helper for the house. So she went, but she was an embodiment of sharam, haya, bashfulness. She just wasn't. She couldn't even her own father. She didn't couldn't speak and say that I want one helper. So, but just look at the relationship between father and daughter also. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed that my daughter Fatima came. She didn't speak anything. She's got something to tell me. So he went himself to the house at night. And then he spoke to them and said, Fatima, you came today, radiallahu ta'ala anha, what was it? Why? What you came for? Still she couldn't speak. So much of sharam haya that even for her need, she couldn't even open up. So then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I sent her and for this purpose. So Nabi Ali salatu wasalam said, I can give you, there's no problem. I will arrange for it. But if you want something better, I will give you something better. And everyone, what is the best that we will want, that what is the best. So Nabi Ali salatu wasalam on that occasion told her that read this Tasbihati Fatmi when you go to bed at night, 33 times Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar, that is better than a helper. From here we learn many other great lessons also, that this tasbihat, the zikr of Allah Ta'ala generally, this tasbih, if we will read it, it will give us physical strength also. That we won't have to have all our vitamin tablets, and we have this will give us our physical strength also, and in order to be fit to do the housework. On one occasion, there was Maulana, he was a Shaykh al-Hadith in Darul Ulum Zakaria. So he explained that when they were small, his granny should get the woman, the house people awake early, tahajjud time. But first work she should give them is to start sweeping the house. So he says, as a young boy, sir, perhaps he had learnt a little bit. I used to become very, very, very angry that when they're up tahajjud time, let them first make tahajjud namaz before they do the housework. But they say, after very long, I read in the kitabs, books of medicine, Hakim kitabs, that when a woman does housework early in the morning, she gets saved from all woman problems, all her problems. So this housework is very, very important for our woman, which generally our women are not doing at all today. Almost everything is ready ordered, or it is by the workers in the house, they do everything. But housework for a Muslim woman is her honor to do that. And Nabi, when Hazrat Fatima, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma got married, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the house and explained, housework the woman will do, Hazrat Fatima will do. And outside work, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu will do. I mentioned this one place, a youngster came to me, but he said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should also do housework. He should do housework, he should help in the chores. But now it doesn't mean that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was all the time just doing housework. The way we go and speak out there, now the husband must just be doing housework. That's why occasionally in love, muhabbat, she's busy making her roti, you took water, you threw it also, you added it. She was busy, you swept out a little bit. Now and then, okay, but now not all the time. Or for example, we hear that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also made jokes. And writing the big kitabs, there are whole chapters of the joking of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this doesn't mean that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was how we are, talking, laughing and loudly and just all the time just making jokes, and that occasion came, he made a joke. No, not now, all the time. So this mizaj, we must not, we go and pick out something and just for it to suit us, and then we just want to use that. So anyway, so Hazrat Fatima was supposed to do the housework, and which she did. And Hazrat Ali did the outside work, earning, etc. for the family. That is the husband's duty. But today we have reversed order. Women go out to earn also. Some places we have seen that the men are doing all the housework. And the women, they are gone out and earning. This we are reversing, and that is our problems that come. So anyway, so this be, if we do that, women won't have to go jogging on the road, they won't have to go gymming, they won't have to do anything, and they will be healthy and fit also, if we bring this deen into our lives. So these tasbihat are great gift which have been given to the ummah, and through the great mubarak and blessings of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. So we should try and read them after every after Fajr and Asr is common, the whole ummah, But also, unfortunately, there are such places that after Asr, especially even after Fajr, the minute the Imam makes salam, people just like sort of like they just jump up and they're gone. They leave the masjid. So busy we have become. So we should try to sit that little while. And sitting that little while has got great benefits also. We get the du'as of the farishtas also. So little while we make that little zikr. And so we should try and complete. And also read them nicely. Them nicely. Not with lots of time, but not very swanila, very fast. We are planting trees and plant good trees. If we are just mumbling and that, and if the tree just grows halfway and it dies off, or it grows crooked or something, Jannat, there is la'iba fiha. There is no aib in it, but let us at least, what we are sending forward, send the proper good things forward. So we should try and read it, and then again, also think, when we say Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, what does it mean? Oh Allah, you are pure of sins. Allah is pure. He is pure. Nobody can purify na'uzubillah. Allah is, but we are expressing the purity of Allah. It comes in the hadith, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned and quoted that when a person says Subhanallah, that Allah, you are free of faults. Allah replies and says, I am free of faults. Whether you say it or don't say it. If nobody says, no wali, no nabi, nobody says it, I'm saying this, I'm free of it. But since you have said it, jaza wifaqa, a like recompense. You did good, just as we heard, somebody gives a present, also try and give a present in return. So, you said, I'm free of faults, now I will purify you of faults. What a wonderful way for the whole ummah, for our Islam, our faults to come out of us. We are all sitting full of faults. But now Allah Himself will purify us of faults. If we do it consciously, we do it properly, just the Subhanallah, and Allah will purify us of faults. So what a great gift we are given. So when we read it like that also, Subhanallah, 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 and think that Allah is saying that I am free, I'm going to free you also of faults. So that is one great benefit. The other is that it is the zikr of Allah, and we are commanded to make the zikr of Allah. It is a great gift given to this ummah through Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and we are accepting that gift. And then as Subhanallah, these the words Alhamdulillah, they fill the pain of the scales, they fill it completely with reward. The reward is so great that from the earth, from the ground to the sky, the whole place gets filled with reward. I'm getting Farz namaz, how much? This is now a sunnat after namaz that we are fulfilling. And so much reward for that. We are getting purified. Our tree is getting built in Jannah. What great rewards. So by reading every time, 33 times, Subhanallah, 33 times, we are purifying ourselves also. 33 trees are planted also. Then 33 times, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. And only Allah deserves praise. Nobody else. Whoever else they praise is because Allah has put that qualities in them, and those qualities don't become your ownership. Allah can take it away anytime. Whatever Allah has given any person, Allah can take it away. Therefore, we should never ever be jealous about a person. Somebody has got good qualities, and mashallah, everyone has got good qualities. Look at them, appreciate them, make dua, Allah increase them, and Allah, you give me also these good qualities. But if you get jealous that Allah take it away from them, if Allah has to take us to task on that, what will happen to us? And if becoming jealous is like objecting to Allah Ta'ala also. That Allah, you gave it to him, he doesn't deserve it, I deserve it. You gave it to the wrong person. Allah knows who he to give, which the treasure of his he gives. So we make dua that Allah increase. So anyway, alhamdulillah, all praises are due to Allah Ta'ala. Praise is only due. Allah says, I am only worthy of praise. But since you have said it now, I will create qualities of praise in you. Now your quality, you will become more praiseworthy, good qualities Allah will give you. Kindness Allah will put in you. Tolerance Allah will put in you. To be able to forgive other people, to help out other people. All those good qualities Allah will make in you now. And when that will happen, then people will praise you, and also by that tarbiyat of Allah Ta'ala, you will know it's not me, it's Allah who gave me this. And if Allah wants to, Allah can take it away at any time. Then 34 times, Allahu Akbar. One riwayat 33 and the fourth kalima at the end. Otherwise, 34 times, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. So Allah says, I am the greatest. But since you have said it, now qualities of greatness, respect, I will make in you also. Now, yeah, there is one point, Allah reward our Shaykh, how he had explained almost everything to us. He said many times the thought comes to us that I'm not worthy of respect. So what are you then, worthy of disgrace? If you don't want respect, do you want disgrace to come to you? That people must spit in your face, people must go around, kicking you and throwing you one side, that you got no value. He said, but this respect must not be for my sake, but it must be for the sake of deen. Like for example, if there is no respect at home, the children don't respect the parents, which unfortunately is becoming common also, then what happens in such a house? If there is no respect in the classroom, the students don't respect the ustad, and everyone does what he wants to. No respect in the masjid. The imam, nobody listens to him. The asr azan namaz is supposed to be 4:15. Somebody comes 4:10 and they start namaz here. Everything upside down. They put notices on the boards, whatever they want to. No authority, no mutawallis, no imam. Nobody is respected. There will be chaos. On the roads, if we don't respect the law of the road, we drive. Here in South Africa, we are supposed to drive on the left side. And here the left side happens to be the right side. If you drive on the left side, then you are driving on the right side. Many countries, and in Saudi, if you drive on the right side, you're on the right side. And if you're on the left side, you're on the wrong side. But here, if you drive on the right, left side, you're on the right side, you're on the right side, you're on the right side. And if you drive on the right side, you're on the wrong side. All upside down, everything. So anyway, if we don't respect the one person, on a Monday morning, when the freeways jammed with traffic, the announcement was made over the radio that there's one driver who's driving against the traffic, in the wrong lane he's gone, on the wrong side. So he happened to listen also. So he phoned up to the radio and he said, not one, everyone is going in the wrong direction. He is going in the wrong direction, and he's saying everyone, this is our condition also, that I am wrong, but I feel everyone else is wrong. Actually, I am wrong, I must come right. So anyway, if that is on the road, what will happen on the road? Solid lines, you overtake. And green light at the traffic light, there you go and stop. All are coming, they see the green and you and then stop there. And the red light, you just shoot past through. What will happen? So where this respect and order, system, discipline, This will come when we say Allahu Akbar. And if there's discipline and respect in the house, in ourselves, the ruh is the nafs, which is like a maniac driver, mad driver, and that is in charge at the moment. So all the chaos which is happening in my life, in our lives, in our lives, in our lives. But if the Ruh comes in charge and now laws are followed within ourselves, the laws of Allah we are observing everywhere, then you're going to get so respect within ourselves, respect in the home. Learn to respect everyone in the home. Learn to respect the wife also. The wife must respect the husband. At the beginning, there's a lot of love. And after the love period is over, then abuse starts. No, there must be respect all the time, from the beginning also, later also, no matter how free we become also, but there must be respect also. Respect our wives, don't just speak. How many people we say that whenever I speak, I say the wrong things. And we say they understand it wrong. We say the wrong things and they are understanding it right. We said the wrong things, but now when they understand it right, we say they've understood it wrongly. We said the wrong things. And we must say what we want to say. Qulu qawlan sadida. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Sometimes you tell the wife, she asks what you mean. Then now we have to again reverse the whole thing. So just say what you mean and mean what you say. If we learn to speak correctly, then many times I'm just making a joke. You don't even know how to make a joke still. You say so many wrong things and you say, I was making a joke. You break the heart into pieces. And then you say, I was making a joke. So all this also we have to learn. So this, when we say Allahu Akbar, Allah will bring these qualities in us. And then we will see that things will go right. So this is a great ibadah that Allah has given us. It is a great remedy of all our ills which are within us. It is the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. It will take us closer to Allah. It will reform us and correct us in every way. And this is now scientists have made polishers, etc., many things. Three in one. Long time ago, polish was 3-in-1. Now you get 5-in-1, 7-in-1. What were things you get? But as many of us, all of us, perhaps will remember that time when we wanted to clean anything. There were three processes. First was scrubbing it, and after that was polishing it, and after that was shining it. Whether it was the floor, whether it's the tiles on the wall, whether it was the car. First you wash the car, then you put polish, and then you used to shine it. Now they made a polish 3-in-1. That the one polish does all three. Washing also, polishing also, and shining also. This they managed to do for the toilet, for the kitchen, for the car, for everything. But our deen, our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, gave us a 3-in-1 for the heart. That with this three tasbih heart, with subhanallah, you purify and wash your heart. It becomes clean. With alhamdulillah, you polish it. And with Allahu Akbar, you shine it. And not once, not only after Fajr and after Asr, not only when we go to bed, that we must do, but we should try and do it every namaz time. After the sunnah muakkada, our ulama, there are other views also, but our ulama explained to us that after your faraz, whatever wazifas you want to read, first read your sunnah muakkada, and then you can read it or finish your nafil, and then you read it. That is the time we should try and read this tasbihat. If we do it every day, 600 minimum. So 600 trees we are planting. 600 times we are purifying and polishing and shining our hearts. If we do this all the time, how come purity doesn't come into us? And this is not, this polish is not, what polishes do we have? Cobra or whatever, so many others. This polish is from Allah Ta'ala. And Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's polish, this 3-in-1 is from there. This will definitely have it. It is possible that our cobra polish and whatever other names there are, they might not take out the dirt. But unless polished, it will definitely take out the dirt. So let us appreciate this. This is a great blessing of Allah Ta'ala, which Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, and so simple. Again, all really the solutions for everything which our deen has given us cost us no money. To read this, we don't have to pay anything whatsoever. Hardly any time, little bit, or perhaps a minute or so. A little bit more than a minute perhaps. We read it nicely. No time also. Results are guaranteed also. And results are everlasting also, forever and ever. So what great blessings we are blessed with. May Allah let us appreciate every aspect of our deen. This perhaps we did not think of it as something, but it is a very great thing, and so many, so much of goodness in it. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, all our, the whole of deen, and those things particularly, which we are thinking are like small things. But they are very, very big. And when that will come in, you look after the pens, the pounds will look after themselves. Then see the whole of deen, the value will come. Then we will have value for our deen. Otherwise today deen, unfortunately, we haven't got value for deen. For dunya, small, trivial things which have got no value. For that we have got so much of time in that. But for our deen, we don't have that value. So we will do this, inshallah, Allah will bring it within us. And then when deen will come into our lives, there is absolutely no doubt. The solution of the whole world is solely in deen. For which Allah has sent 124,000 approximately Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. The master and king of them, Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so to say, Allah did not allow His Rasul to rest for 1 minute also. How He worked tirelessly day and night, all the time. And again from there the Sahaba, Tabi'een, all, and the ulama and the people who worked for deen, also they did not see day on, they made the day into night, night into day, and for the sake of deen. So deen is a very valuable thing. When we will value these things here which appear small, then the real value of our namaz, of our iman. Today iman hasn't got value in our eyes. Very easily a person just says, I'm not a Muslim, Allah should protect us. Iman, what a great treasure. So Allah give us tawfiq. And in this month now, let us try and bring it more into our lives, that it stays the whole year, stays the whole life, and the whole life, and the whole life, and forever and ever. And one, subhanAllah, on the day of Qiyamah, wallah, every person will see what the great value of it is in this world. Allah also demonstrated it there also. Allah grant us all tawfiq to be in His remembrance.